Hey everyone, my name is Pastor Phil. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. And we are so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you're blessed by today's message.
So we're continuing in our series, Refined, where we talk about the realities of what it means to follow after God and for Him to refine in our lives the purity that He's looking for. Not simply just these do's and don'ts, but this passionate pursuit of the Lord and what that means for our lives. And so this refinement process, like we've kind of talked about week in, week out, it's not always an easy process. It's not always a process that we enjoy, because it can be hard at times. There could be some wounds there that need to be purified out, right? And we need them dealt with in our lives. And that process can hurt. That process can be difficult. But this process of holiness, it leaves us as people who are deeper and deeper believers. And so we've over these last several weeks, and even Pastor Chuck last week, we've been talking about this idea of sanctification and salvation. And so that salvation is that belief in Jesus, the confession with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and belief in your heart that He's risen from the dead. But that sanctification process is after salvation, that pursuit of Jesus, that pursuit of biblical principles, of starting to take on the characteristics of a Christian and becoming deeper and deeper, growing more and more in your walk. And so tonight, we're going to take a look at a passage in Hebrews that talks about the continual sanctification process, that continual refining process, and what that looks like and what we should be pursuing. It helps us narrow down and really hone in on what the pursuit of those things looks like in our lives. And so we're going to dive into God's word, but let's pray before we do that. If you bow your heads with me, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that it gives us. Lord, we just pray that tonight that your Holy Spirit would move. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, that we would understand what your word has to say and that we'd have the wisdom to live it out in our lives. Lord, that it wouldn't be textbook knowledge. It wouldn't be something we simply know, but something that we live. Lord, we love you in your precious and holy name, Jesus' name. Amen. So grab your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles back at guest services. But we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And I love Hebrews because there's a lot of deep, rich truth that we can find in the book of Hebrews that ties back to kind of all of Scripture. And really what the book of Hebrews is this picture of Christ being ultimately supreme and how He is supreme in our lives as Savior, as Lord, and how He is greater than all the prophets before Him, because He's God's Son, because He's that ultimate sacrifice, and how He is a picture for us, an example. He's our high priest. He's so many things for us. And then out of that knowledge and understanding of Christ and who Christ is, what it means to be God's people because of who He is. And so in Hebrews 12, we see this picture, this kind of conjoined picture of the reality of who Jesus is and the call that is placed on our lives as we follow Jesus. And so Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1, we're going to be in verse 1 and 2 this evening, we see that. So if you pick up there with me, it says this: "Therefore, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, here right at the beginning, the writer of Hebrews, he gives this analogy of what it means to follow and passionately pursue God. This sanctification process, this growth process, he says, it is a race, right? He says in the later part of verse 1, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so here is our life. Here is our pursuit of Christ. And this pursuit of Christ is this race. And then he describes this race that's run and how we should run it. And he says, we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And so he looks and he says, we are called as believers, as we run this race, as we live this life, looking to grow deeper and deeper. As we do that, we have to lay aside that which is weighing us down in this sanctification or this growth process, this race. And really what it's had me think about is my family, we love to hike. That's like kind of what we do. If we have time together, we love to go on hikes. We love to, if we're on vacation, we love to go to places where you can hike. And all when I was growing up, it's kind of been the same thing. It's just what we've enjoyed doing, being out in nature and hiking. And really, there's always one person in the family who is designated on the hike as being what we lovingly call the pack mule. And the pack mule, their job is to carry pretty much everything that no one else wants to carry. And so growing up, obviously, it was always my dad. And so we knew on hikes, if you needed water, if you needed a snack, if you didn't want to carry your jacket, you would give it to the pack mule and he would stash it all away and he'd carry it. And by the end, he would just have all these different bags. He'd have all these jackets over him. That was just the role that he served. And I remember being like, Dad, come on. Is it really that hard, right, to carry all that stuff on this hike? Well, now that I have a one-year-old, I am the pack mule. And I started to realize that my dad was actually carrying it like a champ, because he looked a lot better at the end of the hikes than I do. And there's this picture, right, where now all of a sudden I'm realizing that that jacket that I didn't want to carry when I was a kid and gave to dad, but now is being given to me. Now that I'm dad, I'm like, man, this is way more annoying to carry than I thought, right? I can't figure out where to put it so that it's not moving around. Or I'm already sweaty and hot, and now I have this jacket on me, so I'm even more sweaty and hot, right? There's this reality of something that is so small and weightless. Something could be a water bottle, something could be a jacket, something that really is a minuscule hindrance, but on these long walks, these hikes, these things where it takes exertion and endurance, these small and weightless things become incredibly frustrating and load-bearing in your life. Now imagine the weight of sin. Talking about something as minuscule in our lives as a jacket, and then we look and we talk about the weight of sin. Sin, which is described all throughout Scripture, as something that is debilitating, something that dries up the soul, something that leads to death, something that is really more comparable to the weight of a house strapped on your back. And now, instead of a couple hour hike, you are walking, or you are racing the race of salvation, which is your life as a believer. You see how incredibly applicable that analogy, that word picture starts to paint. Now this race that's meant to be run with your life, you are running with a house strapped to your back. What would be uncomfortable is now debilitating. And so what this preacher in Hebrews, or what the writer in Hebrews, what he's saying here is, if you want to run this race, you have no hope running this race with sin clinging so close to you. You will not make it. You will be tired. You will be worn out. You will be ready for burnout. Why? Because you are running with incredible weight on your soul. You will be miserable. You'll dry up. You'll collapse. You won't make it to the finish line. And so he says, simply lay it aside. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And so there's this picture of that which is sin, that which is evil, poison, but then that also which is a distraction. That which is maybe not inherently evil, but that which is definitely not beneficial. There are plenty of things that distract us from passionately pursuing Christ. And those are weights. Sin is the house that will absolutely wreck your life. Sin is the weight that will just collapse you immediately. But there are also things that you are filling your life with that are simple weights, slowing you down, distracting you, hindering you. And so we have to lay them down. We have to look and say, what is of true importance in our lives? What is necessary in this run that we race towards? What should we be carrying throughout our lives? What is helping? What is beneficial? And what is weighing us down, burdening us? For some of you, that's time spent in front of the TV. For some of you in this room, that's friendships who maybe aren't actively leading you to sin, but who definitely aren't building you up towards Christ. For some of you, it's hobbies. Hobbies aren't all bad, but sometimes our hobbies become so all-consuming that we would rather do those things than the spiritual things that we're called to, or the things that need to be done in our lives. There's that aspect of sin, which is the reason we're here tonight, our addiction. Then there's that also that picture of the minuscule weights as well. There are some things as you walk your journey in recovery that are not helping you, they're hindering you. They're distracting you. They're helping you cope, not helping you grow. But then the second thing that we need to understand is that we need to understand what we are running, right? When we talk about this race, what is this race, right? That's that second part. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And really, we need to understand the picture of endurance, the reality of how long this race is. Sometimes we think that this race of sanctification is a sprint. Oh, if I just get to this certain level of depth, or I just get to this certain level of where I'm not sinning, or where I know this much of the Bible, or where I'm doing these things, and I've done this for a couple months, then I will cross the finish line in my race. The reality is, this race is a life after God well lived. It's not a 100-yard dash, it's a marathon. I've talked about this before, but if you know anything about marathon running, you know that it's completely different than simply this short race. If you think that you're someone that's fast, and you say, oh, I'm fast, I can run a marathon without any training, say bye to your ACL. Say bye to your hamstring, right? You will collapse. Why? Because you have not built up the endurance for this long race. You don't have the calluses on your feet from training this long race. You don't know what it takes, the hydration that's needed, the refreshment that's needed to keep your body moving for such a long time, having the stamina, the endurance. And so there is this need to understand the race that you are running. Sometimes we get really short-sighted about our walk with Christ. We start to think, oh, if I can just deal with this hurdle in my life, then it's smooth sailing from here. Right? If I can just get my addiction under control, whatever that means, it's just smooth sailing from here. Life will be easy. I will just be the best morally pure person. All my relationships will be healthy all of a sudden. I won't have any temptation. I'll be super honest and super easygoing. The stressors in my life, they won't feel as bad because I don't have this thing that I'm running to. And some of those things are true for a time. But the reality is, Satan loves to not leave us alone. Our sinful flesh loves to not leave us alone. And so many times where we deal with one thing, another thing starts creeping up. Or we deal with one thing and we realize there was something growing in the background in the shadow of this thing that had ruled our life for so long. Oh, I've dealt with my addiction, but now that I've dealt with my addiction or I've grown in my addiction and my recovery walk, all of a sudden I'm starting to realize there's a huge air of pride that's hidden behind this. Or there's been a lot of anger that's been building up over the years that I haven't known how to deal with, and I've been using this sinful habit to deal with it, but now it's still there and I don't know what to do. You go thing after thing after thing. The reality is our sinfulness and the need to root that out and replace it with godly character and godly pursuits and the reality of living a refined, purified life for Christ, it is not this sprint that is done in 6 months, that's done in a year, that's done in 3 years, 5 years. The reality is it's this pursuit of Christ until we are given our glorified bodies in heaven with him. And I don't say that to discourage you. I don't say that for you in this room to go, well, then what's the point? What's the hope? The hope is we have a guaranteed assurance in eternal salvation with Christ. That ultimately things are defeated. That he went to the cross and he died on the cross for our sins and he rose again, conquering that which is plaguing us, sin. And so we look and we say, Lord, we pray for endurance on this race. Let us run with endurance this race. Let us keep passionately pursuing you. And let us lay aside every weight. And so then the picture is, all right, we look and we say, well, what is weighing us down? And we know that we can't carry those weights on this marathon, this race into eternity with God. But then we also say, what is the hope that we have in these races? A lot of marathon runners will tell you there's like this moment, no matter how experienced you are, where you just want to give up, you just want to collapse, where it becomes less a battle of the body and more a battle of the mind. And a lot of times, the picture there is they have to remember why they're racing or what they're racing towards. For us, it's the same. There will come a point in your life, if that point hasn't already come, or there will be multiple times in your life where you will look and you will feel discouraged. You will feel hopeless. You'll mess up. You'll fail. And that's why the writer of Hebrews reminds us of the goal, reminds us of what to stay focused on in those moments. He says this, verse 2, looking to Jesus. So he says the key to running this race in endurance is looking to Jesus, verse 2, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, or seating at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we look and we say, if we are to run this race well, we have to, it's that age-old mantra, keep our eyes on the prize. And what is that prize? Christ, the source of our salvation, the source of our sanctification. And I love that picture of him being the foundation and the perfecter. He's the thing that everything is built on, and he's the thing that makes everything built right. Amen. Yes. And so for you in your life, you look and you say, if you want to run this race of your life, passionately pursuing the Lord, and you want to be the foundation, you want to say, oh, I got to figure it out. I got to do it better. I have to grit my teeth. I have to have the self-control. I have to have the discipline. And you think that you can do that apart from anyone other than Christ, or do that apart from Christ and do it with anyone else or do it on your own, you can know you will fail. Because it's built in the wrong place, and it's built messy and sloppy. But we look and we say, we know that our salvation, that Christ lays the foundation for our walk with him through his death and resurrection. Tonight, if you've not received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to know there is no hope apart from the gospel. There is no hope apart from his death and resurrection and the confession that he is Lord and belief that he is risen from the dead. Let that be the foundation of your life. Lay that foundation this evening if you haven't. And then for those of us in this room who have that foundation laid, our salvation, we look and say, he is the perfecter. He is the one that is carrying us. He is the one that is building us, right? We are built on him, and we are made perfectly because we are built with him, by him. And the reality is we have to fight against simply going through the religious motions, and that we have to remember about the passionate pursuit of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget why we do things. We forget what we're contending for. We forget things that God called us to do. Or we just do them as if we're going through the motions. But what the writer of Hebrews says is the key to endurance is to continue to do these things, continue to passionately pursue God, continue to seek after him, and to remember why you're doing that. The foundation and perfecter of our faith, Christ. Paul, he writes a letter to a church in a city called Philippi. Turn with me to the Philippians, to the book of Philippians. So the book of Philippians is this letter that's written to this church in Philippi. And he says, here's the deal. You have to stay focused in this walk. There are so many distractions. There's so many winding ways that want to get you off the racing path. You have to stay focused. And to stay focused, You need to stay looking in one direction. And so he says this, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12, 13, 14, it says this. Now that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I love that line from Paul. If you ever thought that Paul was the perfect Christian, he puts that to rest. He puts the kibosh on that, right? He says, I'm still struggling to do this. I'm still struggling to find this reality. But the way that I do that is I press on because Christ has made me his own. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ. So he looks, he says, there's this call of Christ in my life. And as a believer, you have that same call of Christ in your life. You need to hear that, brothers and sisters in this room. You have a call that is placed on your life. A call to passionately pursue Christ. To press on towards this goal. And so what does Paul say is the thing that is giving him success as he does this? He says, I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead. Some of you in this room spend a lot of time holding on to what should be left behind. Past shame, mistakes, old hurt, both caused and felt. You know what you're holding on to, what you're constantly looking back to. Paul says, in order to press on towards the prize, you can't keep looking back. There are many different videos online of racers who have lost races because they kept looking back at who was in second place. And so I think part of this is a lesson on comparison, right? We can't look at those who maybe are behind us in that call of Christ and say, oh, at least we're doing better than them. But we also can't look back to what's lying behind, our old self, the old ways of doing things, how we've always done it, the sin that we're leaving behind. And as Paul comes to the end of his life, he's writing to this guy he's been discipling and training up, a guy named Timothy. And he knows that the end of his life is drawing near. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he looks and he says, he looks and he shares the reality of where he's at as he's coming home to, or looking to come home to Christ. He says this, 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So he looks, and he knows he's at the end of his life, and he looks, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And he had. All the way to the end of his life, he proclaimed Christ, he pursued Christ, he loved people, he cared for the church. And I look at this passage and I look at it as a goal for my life. That when my life is over, I can say the same thing. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. That's a life that was run with endurance. And so my encouragement to you this evening would be to take those words from Paul, those words of Scripture from the Holy Spirit, and to make that the aim of your life. God doesn't care about where the race started, right? We're all starting at different points. We start at different ages. We start with different stuff going on. But that end is laid out for each of us. How we run the race is important for each of us as we call ourselves believers. That picture of refining. You're not saved because of what you do, but we look and we say we want to honor the Lord with what we've done. And so, as you run the race, you run the race in your addiction, you run the race dealing with people, family around you, and all this race being the race of salvation and sanctification, my encouragement to you is to look and run it in a way that whenever the end of your life comes around, you can look and say, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Running a race of endurance, longevity, and dedication to following Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we pray this evening that you would give us endurance, dedication. Lord, I pray that you would help us to passionately pursue you. Help us to honor you with our lives. Lord, I pray for whoever it is in this room who has been struggling with their spiritual stamina. Lord, it feels like they follow you for a time and then they run. And then they follow you for a time and then they fall into apathy. Lord, I pray for the person in this room who maybe ran for a long time, but now have found themselves in this period where they just can't carry on because they've allowed these weights to accumulate in their lives. Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to lay those weights aside, as the writer in Hebrews says, to leave them behind, Lord, and that we would follow the direction of Paul, that we would press on towards the upward call that you've placed in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would run in a way that we could say, like Paul in 2 Timothy, that we have fought the good fight, we have finished the race, we have kept the faith. Lord, I pray just for endurance in our lives. Lord, I pray for those who are feeling discouraged, feeling worn out, Lord, that they would turn to you for their strength, not themselves. They would turn to you for refreshment. They would turn to you to help them get back up and run. Lord, we pray and we ask all these things in the only name that saves. The only name that saves us through grace, not through works, but through grace. Your precious and mighty name, Jesus' name. Amen.